recognize that by and large in this nation, invasive surveillance technology is almost as a rule beta tested on low-income Black and Latino communities. That is the first issue. We need to start asking about the who and not the what. The other issue is that we tend to think of surveillance as something technological, and in the 21st century, in 2016, it increasingly is. But we can't forget about all of the run-of-the-mill surveillance techniques, like, for example, stop and frisk, and racial profiling of drivers, and pulling over drivers driving while Black. And we can't forget that stopping someone and searching them on a pretense or for, frankly, no good reason at all, that is surveillance. Stopping someone while they're driving and asking them some questions and seeing if they trip up, that is also surveillance. We can't just think that this is about technology. What it is about monitoring a community. And we need a comprehensive evaluation of this trend, and we need to talk about how to fix it in Congress.
We've been speaking with Alvaro Bedoya of the Center on Privacy and Technology at Georgetown Law. His articles, The Color of Surveillance and Why I Walked Out of Facial Recognition Negotiations, can both be found on Slate.com. Alvaro Bedoya, thank you so much for joining us today on Counterspin.
It was my pleasure. Thank you so much.
And that's it for Counterspin for this week. Counterspin is produced by FAIR, the National Media Watch Group based in New York. The show is engineered by Alex Noyes. I'm Janine Jackson. Thanks for listening to Counterspin.
Good evening, KBOO listeners. The time now is 6 p.m. and you are listening to KBOO Portland. Up next, we'll have Bread and Roses. Before that, though, why don't you listen to a few of the people who help our radio station keep going.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Holistic Tracking, Engaging All Our Senses, an experiential weekend workshop taking place March 11th through 13th at the Cedar Ridge Retreat in Vernonia, Oregon. Holistic Tracking calls upon all senses, including the inner senses, to become a conscious part of the dynamic story of life on Earth. The workshop teaches effective observation, reading local tracks and signs to follow a trail, building stronger connections with wildlife and nature, and more. Again, that's Holistic Tracking, Engaging All Our Senses, a weekend workshop taking place March 11th through 13th at the Cedar Ridge Retreat in Vernonia, Oregon. A link to register and more information can be found at KBOO.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events. KBOO Community Radio and Friends of Clark County are proud to co-sponsor an evening of fun and food Saturday, March 19th at 6 p.m. at the Unitarian Universalist Church in Vancouver, Washington. The evening will feature live music by Dan Weber, a dinner provided by Chef Sebastian Carosi, speakers talking about Clark County's smart growth plans, and local farmers on the current challenges and rewards of farming in Clark County. Again, that's an evening of fun and food Saturday, March 19th at 6 p.m. at the Unitarian Universalist Church, 4505 East 18th Street in Vancouver, Washington. More information can be found at KBOO.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO is already an integral part of your life, as it is also a vital piece of the cultural fabric of the Pacific Northwest. This is just one reason why we are asking you to remember the KBOO Foundation in your charitable planned giving, along with your family members and friends. Planned gifts can also provide valuable tax benefits for you and your loved ones. People of many different income levels have the resources to make a charitable bequest. If every adult in America made a will and included a benefit of just $100, billions would flow to charitable causes every year. Please remember KABU in your plans and make sure to address all bequests and beneficiaries' designations to the KABU Foundation. Then let us know so we can thank you. Contact Becky Myers at 503-231-8032 or email development@kabu.org to notify us of your plans. This KABU program has been made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from True West, presenting an evening of eclectic Celtic music with Canadian multi-instrumentalist Lorena McKennett, March 23rd at the Arlene Schnitzer Concert Hall. Tickets and information for Lorena McKennett on March 23rd are available at portland5.com.
Marching at the dawn of the day, all the darkened kitchens, the mill of gray, all touched by the radiance that the sun discloses. Oh, hear the people singing bread and roses. Marching, so many women dead. We cry through our city, their ancient call for bread. Our stomachs are empty, but our hearts are hungry too. Oh, hear the people singing bread and roses.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Bread and Roses, Feminist News and Public Affairs. I am Nicole Stein, and
I'm your co-host, Nia Nguyen.
And our engineer tonight is Avani. Bread and Roses is a collective of women-identified radio activists. We give voice to those working for social justice and equity, globally and locally, and we strive to challenge systems of oppression. All this, and we have fun. We always welcome new collective members, no experience necessary. To find out more about how you can host, produce, or engineer with us, you can contact KABU's volunteer coordinator at volunteer@kboo.org. Make sure to like KABU Bread and Roses on Facebook to get updates and see behind-the-scenes photos. We are also on Twitter at Bread Roses Radio. And on the web at www.kboo.fm/bread and roses. There you can listen to past shows and leave us comments and show ideas. You can also email us suggestions at breadandrosescollective@gmail.com. Tonight, the show focuses on the economic and political system that we live under and have been living under, which is capitalism.
Yay! Capitalism.
So, to start, what is capitalism?
So, we have a working definition of capitalism as the the economic and political system which the country's trade and industry are controlled by private owners for profit rather than by the state. And I guess we came up with this topic, I guess it was just one of the things that, like, we had one of our meetings and we were going around the meeting and, like, we were saying, well, what do we hate? And, like, we just came to, like, Nicole and I just came to, oh, I hate capitalism. Me too. Let's do a show about it.
And here we are. So I like to talk about capitalism because I feel like it's one of the functions in society that has a lot of influence. That influences our paradigm and everything around us. It influences what we value, what we disvalue, where we are in life. It allocates the resources, and that's obviously very important. So I think understanding it can help us build a better foundation for a better society.
Yeah. And, like, I guess since choosing that topic and just applying it to the Bread and Roses Collective, dialogue. I'm just thinking, how has capitalism helped women along the way? What has capitalism done for women?
Well, I think capitalism creates a new system of value. I guess the way I see something as valuable is if it gives utility or use to the person. So food, obviously, you know, wood for building houses or whatever. I see that as the ultimate value for humans. It's what gives us life or what helps us achieve a healthy life. And through capitalism, there is now a window in which the value kind of goes through a vacuum of capitalism, and then a new value system is brought onto it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
the way I see it is that, like, there's one main function of capitalism, and that is to make profit.
Yeah.
And you can't really do that if the template or what's embedded underneath, like, our system of living, like our politics, and is like inequality.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like our country, like we were founded on, you know, this American, like, dream, this like accept, like this American exceptionalism and individuality. But like on the flip side of that coin, like that was all built on the backs of slaves and like women didn't even get to vote until the 1920s. So
isn't
like,
that crazy?
That
yes, is crazy yeah. to me. I think, I don't know, like if I was born 80 years ago, life would be so different just mm-hmm. with that alone.
Absolutely. I mean, personally, I think it's gotten worse. But we can talk about that later. But we've got some quotes here from scholars and philosophers defining what capitalism is. Do you want to read the first one?
Sure.
Yeah?
Capitalism is a social system based on the recognition of individual rights.
And that is by Ayn Rand?
Yes.
So
what do you think when you read that?
Well, I mean, like, Ayn Rand, like, she wrote Atlas Shrugged. And she's very much about American exceptionalism and you know, like, given, like, she's from a country that was she's an immigrant from a country that was, like, decimated by communism and that really messed, like, you know, coming to this country,
yeah.
Of course you're gonna the American dream and all of that works.
Well, I think. And one of the things to add is that you see, like, if you're coming from a place, you know, of poverty, and you come to America and you see all these big buildings and all of these things, and you see all this clothes and all these malls and all these resources, well, those resources many times are come to be because of the exploitation that's occurring in other countries. And I think sometimes, you know, you go somewhere and you forget where it came from. So when I see a shirt that's $5, you know, brand new at a store, I'm thinking, wow, somebody had to be exploited horribly for this to happen.
Yeah.
So I guess that's kind of getting off topic, or I don't know.
No, it's absolutely all connected to that. Someone had to have been exploited through the commodification of these products that, mm-hmm. like, we're, like, in these material things that we have in our system of capitalism. Like,
yeah.
Someone had to, because, like, one of the driving forces of things that, like, many Americans do, it's a ritual, is that we buy and we consume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's absolutely true. We have sales for every season.
And that is embedded.
We probably have more like car sales than, you know, we have those more than seasons.
But there's sales, always sales, right? But I mean, that's embedded into the American creedal narrative. That's embedded into the American dream that like when you are basically like the more you have,
the better,
the more successful you've been. Or at least, I mean, like my personal story is that like my my family, we were the boat people. We came from Vietnam. Like, you know, like our country was decimated by the Vietnam War.
Yeah.
They called it the American War over there. And my mother and father came to this country with the hopes of the American dream working out for them.
Yeah.
You know, working out for them. They came here working their butts off in sweatshops and just pushing that limit of how much labor they can put in to achieve that American dream. And granted, yes, like my mother has a business now, and she works 7 days a week, takes off only 3 holidays out of the year.
Oh, geez.
So that idea of success, I don't know.
She feel successful? Does she feel that she's achieved this?
I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a tough question, is when is the American dream fulfilled?
I mean, like, personally, I don't think it's ever existed. I mean, you know, like, how are you going to tell, like, how are you going to say that, like, you know, you come here with these dreams and it's like this idea of like exceptionalism, American exceptionalism, and you know, working your butt off and pulling yourself up by your bootstraps and doing what you need to do. And then like on the other side, this country was founded on slavery.
Yeah.
The genocide of so many people.
Yes, Native unfortunately.
Poverty under capitalism right now is out of control.
Yes, it is.
It's like when I'm driving through Portland, everywhere I see there are so many houseless people.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
And this is one function of capitalism, I guess, that you could say I do not like, is that we definitely have more vacant homes than we do homeless, or at least I saw something on Facebook that said it, which means I should probably check that. But, you know, with one of the functions of capitalism is that regardless of what is available, it's limited by the amount of money the people have. So even if there's enough food to feed everybody and enough homes for everybody, we don't go off what we have available to us. We go off of what money those people have. And sometimes among everybody, they don't have enough money to get basic health care, you know, get housing, get all of that. And so that's one thing I think that we really need to look at within capitalism is if we have all the resources and only money is holding us back, why are we still adhering to the system? I think we could do better. So
what do you mean the system is keeping those keeping that money and the value and only in those private companies?
Yeah. And so because the money is concentrated in certain places, you know, we have to have all this unnecessary suffering because of the concentration of money, even if that concentration of money or those group of people who have money or whatever aren't utilizing those homes, does that make sense? You know, so the rich can only eat so much and there's still food left over and we could give that food away, but we don't because of money. And so I think, you know, it's time to look at a new perspective, you know, look at a new approach. Maybe there is a lot of poverty going on right now. And
I mean, it's just really heartbreaking for me because it's like everywhere I turn, like when I like, especially when I see like women of color, but you know, a lot of women like that, like many of us work so hard and like we just don't and we try so hard to get by for our family and it's just really heartbreaking for me that we try so hard but like we can only get so far.
Yeah.
That carrot, that dangling carrot that is like the American dream, like it doesn't happen for women, much less other people of color or, you know, the carrot is only available to, 10 families in the United States. Have you heard that?
No.
That all the wealth, like 90% of the wealth in the country is concentrated on 10 families.
Yeah, that is true. There's a million documentary on it. Yeah. No, there's a million documentaries on that, but there's one with a professor from Berkeley. Oh, man, I have to look that up. But
well, we can, you know, you can give that to me later and we'll put it on the website and you can share with our listeners. One of the things that like capitalism does is that like they like inundate us and saturate us with like these like mass marketing commercials, like product placements, etc. that like work to get us to buy.
Yeah.
And then we are told that things and materialism is the key to happiness and success, that owning a car, that house or those shoes are a big part of the American way and the American dream. And yet that's true. There's excess in the United States, but we've become so poor and becoming poorer while the capitalists demand that we buy more and more.
Yeah.
It's a
whole system.
And yet we work so many hours over and like so many hours just to live. I mean, like in Portland, we are in a state a state of rental emergency right now that like we can't even really buy. The poor are getting the poorer and the rich are staying rich.
Yeah.
And
it's been growing like that for quite a while. I mean, how long has that trend been going on?
I'd say like since after the civil rights movement, like, you know, after then, that's when like all of the neoliberal, capitalist political machine starts to like work its magic with like the war on drugs and like taking away the welfare system and doing what they need to do to take that wealth from the poor to the rich. But I know that was very that was a lot of like information that we're trying to pack in there, so we'll just let the listeners we'll take a little break and listen to a song for now. We're going to listen to Black Eyed Peas by Black Eyed Peas, Where Is the Love?
Where is the love? suffering as the youth are young. So ask yourself, is the loving really gone? So I could ask myself, really what is going wrong in this world that we living in? People keep on giving in, making wrong decisions, only visions of them dividends. Not respecting each other, denying thy brother. A war's going on, but the reason's undercover. The truth is kept secret, it's swept under the rug. If you never know truth, then you never know love. Where's the love, y'all? Come on.
I don't know.
Where's the truth, y'all? Come on.
I don't know.
Where's the love, y'all?
We're forgetting people dying, children hurting, living, crying. When you practice what you preach, and would you turn the other cheek?
Welcome back to Bread and Roses. My name is Nia, and
my name is Nicole.
And our topic today is capitalism and why we hate it. During the music break, we have a caller that called in, and this is Deanna.
Deanna, yeah.
Deanna. Oh, thank you very much for calling in.
Sure. Well, I'm very interested in what you're talking about. It's a very big topic. You really bit off a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's okay, because if you're talking about, you know, if you're going to sit and talk about the theory of capitalism, well, you haven't gotten prepared. But if you're going to talk about capitalism in your lives, what you've seen around you, I think you're right on the money, as the saying goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right on target. I wanted to point out something that a lot of people in this country do know about slavery, of course, and do acknowledge that. However, you'll hardly hear anyone talking about the fact that all of this land belonged to somebody else before Europeans got here.
Yeah, we're and settlers in this land.
Right now, I'm reading a book which you may be interested to read.
Oh, yeah.
It's called An Indigenous People's History.
Oh, yes. Howard Zinn, right?
Mm-hmm, by Roxanne Dunbar Ortiz.
Oh.
And she talks about the policies and the whole initial approach and setup and the things that led to where we are today. And she points out that land is essential to life.
Yeah.
And therefore, when you steal the land, you steal the life.
Yeah.
When
absolutely.
You steal the life, that's called genocide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yes, those early settlers and the capitalists stole people from Africa and enslaved them, and they stole land. And one of the things that's very hard for the people, those of us, one of you is not one of this, I don't know about the other, but many of us are descendants of the settlers who colonized this country. And it's not pleasant for us to look at the fact that we are living on stolen land. And what we have been told about that is, isn't it shameful, and isn't it a shame, and isn't it a tragedy that all of those indigenous people were wiped out? Well, some people know they were not wiped out completely.
Mm-hmm.
They have put up a tremendous resistance, just as African-American people have in this country, and they are still here and alive and fighting and resisting, and they are in many instances at the forefront with their bodies on the line of protecting the environment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because once again, the government at the behest of the the multinational corporations, you know, who want to take oil and coal and so forth out of the ground, and they're stealing again from the same people that they have been stealing from all along. But these people have said no, and the indigenous groups, the Northern Cheyenne in Oklahoma, the Lummi up in Bellingham, Washington, and I could, you know, there's over 550 different indigenous nations in this country.
Yeah, absolutely.
People don't talk about it. People don't think about it. But anyway, I hoped you would add that into your discussion about capitalism.
Yeah, definitely. It's important.
Yeah, no, thank you for calling in and sure. telling us about that.
Okay, like, yeah. And keep on the good with the good work. It's a pleasure to listen to you.
Thank you.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Bye-bye. Yeah. By the end. Yeah, one of the things that we definitely talked about before we did the show was that we're trying to bite into we had a caller David that called in we lost you, David. So if you can just call us back.
Sorry about that.
But I mean, like, back to what I was saying, that, like, you know, we're, this topic is a very big topic. These are the waters that we're swimming in.
Yeah.
And there's a lot to say. And there's a lot that needs to be said, but you can't really do it in a whole hour, you know.
But that part is very important about, you know, how the colonizers got here. You know, the land wasn't taken in the most peaceful of ways. And I think it's really interesting that we continue to demonize and criminalize immigrants, yet that is how we were founded. And I think, you know, for as long as we do kind of demonize immigrants, the system can be perpetuated of, I guess this system, America, can be perpetuated unless we really take a look and say, okay, whose land is this? And what's the most fair thing to do next? I don't know.
I mean, like, acknowledging it is a very, very big step. Like,
yeah.
That we are all settlers in this land, and this land does not belong to us. This country was built on slavery and the genocide of people. That has to be said. I think we did say that earlier before the music break. Thank you very much, Deanna, for sharing all of that wonderful wisdom.
Yeah.
With that.
I know when I read the book, it's called Lies My Teacher Told Me.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what kind of introduced me to that idea. And this was, I mean, after college, and I had never, ever been introduced to that area of history.
Yeah, because it's part of the American creedal story. It's part of the American exceptionalism. That's part of liberalism, that, like, when you get to this country, right, like, our country was founded on, like, exceptional Americans.
Yeah.
Like, that, like, many Americans moving out west was, like, a manifest destiny. Like, like that. All of those points in history that, like, are saying that we're moving forward. We're being, we are, like, moving closer to civilization, like, to a better civilization with under capitalism, et cetera, et cetera. That, like, those things are a part of, like, the American story, the American narrative, that, like, that's the driving force. And many people, like, would rather hear that story than know
the unfortunate truth.
The truth. So it looks like we got David on the line again. We can get David on the line.
Yeah.
Hi, David.
Hi. So I wanted to speak. I'm originally from Hawaii, and my ancestors are Polynesian. They had to live within the bounds, which, you know, became apparent in a couple of islands. You had ecological collapse. Now, that was because there's forces driven that were out of line with the nature and the world, you know. So by the time, you know, they got to Hawaii, they realized they had to live within the boundaries. Of course, that was, you know, changed by Europeans that came in and wanted to sell things, and they got my ancestors on the idea of land ownership. that somebody can actually, this is mine and it's this worth this much. So they made this great mahele and they divided the lands. But
yeah,
so capitalism was still coming around then, and it's even driven more so now that it's bad, and that it mobilizes a whole bunch of, making a bunch of widgets, whatever, dresses, shoes, bunch of stuff that is not necessarily needed anymore. Like, I thought about doing clothes before because I worked at a high-end retail store, and you really didn't need to get another suit. But they build in this you know, obsolescence, like, oh, that's last year's, or that's this, or that's that. And it's just, it's to keep the system alive. But
absolutely.
Yeah.
The planet.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yeah.
killing the planet, and we don't want to end up like Rapa Nui, you know, where just like, oh, they kept on using the trees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no trees left, you know. Then it wasn't just, you couldn't make ships to gather fish.
Yeah.
You couldn't hold the land, literally. So the land sloughs off, and you had crop, you know, failure, and
yeah, and we are all feeling the effects of that, like that those resources taken out of our, like, out of the land, out of the earth. Like here, even in Portland, we can see the weather has changed drastically over the past decade or so, or even more, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm in my 30s, but like I only started to see those changes in recently. And like we can definitely see that, like, capitalism has taken a massive toll on our environment.
And
sorry, David.
Could I interject that?
Yeah.
The problem also is that when there's a project that comes up, it's 15, 25, maybe 50 years out. And that's all they're planning for their liability or their
yeah.
How much their responsibility.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
That's horrible. That's not righteous. We're in the 21st century, and we only got one ship, and mm-hmm. that's this Earth.
And yeah. what's kind of ironic is that we measure success, you know, by finances, by GDP, and so if
and that's
an
a
environment,
part of capitalism.
If an
profits.
Environment is polluted and needs you know, restoration, well, that's going to cost money. So now your GDP looks even better. And you have a messed up environment, you know, and it's like the environment is what's giving us life. Why? Yeah. Why?
But those 10 families do not care. They
yeah.
just simply do not. Okay.
They're insulated or isolated from the rest of us.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for having me on, ladies.
Thanks for calling
yeah.
in.
Oh,
I was going to bring up universal suffrage was something that was given by, well, it's because the women were working in factories and such. So that mm-hmm. came from capitalism.
Well, thank you. So we'll talk about that another time. We've got thank you. Good night. We've got Cassidy on the line.
Yes. Hi, guys.
Hi.
How's it going?
What happened to my connection?
Hello, Cassidy. Sorry, one second, Cassidy.
Okay.
Hi.
Okay. Well, I had to embark on a self-education program about capitalism because I didn't learn anything in school. I guess I just only had 12 years, so they didn't teach it.
Yeah, no, of course not. we live in that. We live in it, so that's the only way to learn. But
yeah, we're fish in the water.
Yeah.
So when I did take a look at it, my first big light bulb was reading William Grider's Secrets of the Temple. He just took a couple of pages, like from pages 66 to 68, to tell how capitalism is married to the government at the Federal Reserve.
Yep.
And how the government
yep.
takes money out of nothing
yep.
and gives it to the banks, and how they immediately octuple it because they only have a small reserve. And anyway, it's explained in the book. It would take me a while and hand gestures to explain it. The other thing is that there's a term that encompasses all that we're looking for. We're looking for economic democracy as well as political democracy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We're starting from our structure and foundation is all socialist because the roads have to go everywhere. The police have
yeah.
to be there, the fire department, the army, the schools. The water, the electricity, everything if not owned in common, held in common, and used in common. And now that capitalism is on its last legs, because it has right now in the United States, we're so tapped out, all we have is financialization.
Yeah.
We have all this excess of material stuff, and we just, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I feel that what's happening now is that capitalism is putting the table into the fireplace. For instance, there's privatization of water and schools and even libraries. That was the one that surprised me. And so capitalism is going a little too far.
Yes.
They're starting to dismantle, like with toll roads and all kinds of clever things, parking meters, everything. They're starting to dismantle the foundation. And so I think once you look at that Federal Reserve input, you realize we could have a basic income grant from the Federal Reserve and feed money into the bottom instead of through the top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So often does not trickle down. Mm-hmm. There's a Portland basic income grant group on Facebook, and they meet occasionally, and they're looking at all the different ways you might, a country might, and countries are looking at it, different states and different countries are doing pilot projects, how to run an economy when the money is inserted at the human level rather than through the Federal Reserve to the banks. And that's all I had to say.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. That's important input. The Federal Thank Reserve so has a huge influence.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So have a good
Bye-bye.
Night. We're
you
gonna.
Too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
We're gonna take one more call before we get into our next topic because time is running. But we do want to like talk about neoliberalism and how it affects our lives. But our next caller is. Hi, Patty.
Oh.
How are you?
Oh, I get to be the next caller. Well, I'm really having a really terrible day, but I've been sitting in my to the conversation, and I was thinking about the last couple of calls and how the whole thing with capitalism and foundation, like there's really nothing, and she might have said it with the Federal Reserve that we're not on the gold standard anymore, so there's really no substance to us.
Yeah.
Our expertise is in marketing, mm-hmm. spin, PR, image, and I think that's all we are.
Yeah.
And that's what we've always been. We've always sold the American dream, and it sells.
Yes, and it's like now I'm starting to go, oh, I remember when socialism was a bad word, like when I found out the Native Americans, we'd been lied to, you know? It's like,
yeah.
Little by little, you realize it's always been that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, like, I said earlier that my parents are from Vietnam. Like, you know, like, they came here after the Vietnam War. Like, you know, like, a decade after the Vietnam War. And that, like,
right.
I mean, like, you know, like, that American dream even hit their colonies, you know, like,
yeah.
like the American dream even like got to my mother, a country girl in Vietnam, like, and she, like, you know, our family, we came on a boat, like across the Pacific Ocean, not just, you know, on the boat, we flew too, but, you know, we traveled on a boat, like across, in the Pacific Ocean just to get to this country. Why? Because the American dream sells.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've heard a lot of the young Hispanics, well, just a few of them here in Oregon,
mm-hmm.
totally shocked me because they're on their way for that American dream.
Yeah.
Which I think is like, oh, no, you really don't want that. It's pretty empty.
Yeah. Yeah, and then it's so infuriating because they come here and they have to deal with racism, sexism, xenophobia, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And like, you know, it's very, very alienating for many people of color and many immigrants that come here.
True, but as a white American female, it's like I just remember going, oh my God, I've been lied to my whole entire life, you know?
Yeah.
Started with the Native Americans, and then I went to Europe when I was about 18 for about 6 months. And I remember when I came back on the plane, I was like, oh my God, look at everything is huge. We're like pigs. Overdue everything.
Wow.
Cars, the trucks, roads, the houses. We're just buttons.
Yeah.
So, I haven't really liked the American dream since then. It just made me feel embarrassed. It's like, it's just gluttony.
Yeah.
At the expense of everybody else.
And it is at the expense of everybody else.
Yeah.
And I just now drove up to Home Depot, and I'm like, are those sheds or are those tiny houses selling now?
All right, Patty, I hope your night gets better.
It has. Just talking to you. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling in.
Bye-bye. We're just going to hold off on the calls for now. They're just coming in. But we'll continue with our conversation because we were going to talk about neoliberalism next. That is a term that, before I even knew what it meant, I thought it was a great thing. Like, I thought the American dream was a great thing. But, yeah. Nicole, can you?
Neoliberalism. We have kind of a textbook definition here that I want to read before we talk about it, because it is a word that can easily get misused.
Yeah.
So, neoliberalism is a set of economic policies that have become widespread during the last 25 years or so. Although the word is rarely heard in the United States, you can clearly see the effects of neoliberalism here as the rich grow richer and the poor grow poorer. Liberalism can refer to political, economic, or even religious ideas. In the U.S., political liberalism has been a strategy to prevent social conflict. It is presented to poor and working people as progressive compared to conservative or right wing. So a good example would be the right to work. You have the right to work. And
you have a personal responsibility,
yeah.
Like all of those trigger words that come with neoliberalism.
Yeah. So economic liberalism is different. Conservative politicians who say they hate liberals, meaning the political type, have no real problem with economic liberalism, including neoliberalism.
Yeah. And that quote came from Elizabeth Martinez and Arnaldo Garcia, on their article about neoliberalism, and that neoliberalism came after they came up with this strategy plan after the civil rights movement, when many laborers and people in the union and people of color and activists were fighting for the rights and the economic justice that needs to come for many Americans. And
I think we see it. Sorry.
No, continue.
I think this kind of mirrors, if we go back a little bit in history, at times when there was slavery, there was a common argument that, you are a slave, but look at all that I'm providing for you. And, I've read about slaves who were scared to leave once slave was abolished, because, well, they're the provider. They give me everything. What am I supposed to do without them? And I kind of see that same argument in this day and age, where you have companies saying, oh, look at all this that we're providing. Look at all this that we're providing. Like Walmart, there's,
yeah, you're providing stuff
providing
masses, but they're not even paid a living wage.
And I've seen arguments that are like, we come to the city and we provide this many jobs, like 200 jobs, and that's the argument. You have the right to work. You have the right to our employment. And it's like, no, before you were here.
Yeah.
There wasn't these dynamics. There were little ma and pa shops, and
also bringing in the Walmart, bringing in so many people to work for $7.25 to $9.25, and they're working more hours. They have no time for anything in our daily lives. We don't have anything any time for anything in our daily lives when we work those many hours for that low amount of money.
Pay, yeah.
And then we have this fear of you know, like losing our jobs because the situation that like these, like for instance, Walmart, that like are putting workers under, that like,
yeah,
you know, if you don't work hard enough, or if you're not, you know, like if you don't come to work, or if you're sick, you know, like you got to work, you got to continue to work. We can find someone else. There's always someone else that can take your place. And so like many Americans are living in the constant fear of not making it.
Yeah. And that, I feel like that creates a cultural
hostility.
Feeling. Yeah. That's like, it's like you're so replaceable. I feel like it kind of creates that notion. And it's like, no, you're not. and I feel like that is disempowering to the population. So I'm here to tell you, no.
You are valued.
You are valued. I value you. And I think you could do whatever you want.
So, another thing that like neoliberalism has like spawned is like basically many incarcerations that like one of the like we can definitely point to the war on drugs as one of like the defining things that like the neoliberal landscape has created to incarcerate many people of color, because I mean like that's
what's happening,
and that only feeds into that system of the prison industrial complex that like we are all paying for all of these incarcerations in one way or another, whether like we have a personal family member that has been incarcerated, or we are paying with it for our with our taxes, or like there's so many aspects in which that is so wrong, and all of our money and all of our working our labor is being put into
these taxes.
Well, I mean, like, put into the system of the PIC, the prison industrial complex.
Yeah. And it's frustrating to kind of wrap that in with capitalism. It's interesting because the cost is, you know, through the taxes. Through the taxes, we're paying for this prison, which, you know, I don't want to pay for all these people to be incarcerated. And then those profits are privatized. You know, and that's a function, I think, of capitalism that we also need to look at is
those private companies.
You know, why are for social welfare affairs, are the profits still being privatized? That's creating an incentive for the owners to continue this incarceration rate, which is actually interesting because I believe it's like one of the police unions or something, they are like one of the top founders for continuing the drug on wars. And it's like, look at what's happening. You have the companies who profit from the people being incarcerated lobbying for the continuation of these laws. And then people continue to be incarcerated and lose their lives and lose their well-being. That's not okay.
Yeah. I mean, like even I can point to like, the Portland State University right now that like they're going through a massive change right now with the armament of security, campus security, and that like these are only like the minions that are coming after houseless people or people that look like they're on drugs. Who is that? Who looks like they're on drugs, but like people that look like they're on drugs.
I haven't heard of this before.
Yeah, so this is this is going on like the Board of Trustees with Vim Vival coming in.
Is that past,
yeah, like the, and voting.
If you're on drugs?
No, I mean just like that like that they're trying to look for sex offenders, houseless people. Like that's why they want to arm our campus with cops. And like when there's like armament of security or cops, like the only outcome is more violence.
Yeah.
Is more violence that comes along with that. So, that was very, I know that was very hard. So we'll take a music break, a quick one, and then we'll come back and finish this conversation up.
Well, all this crime and violence, trials and tribulations. Well, the unemployment of real youngsters about here. And then if you know. Fight in the one line till I'm inside Bang Mall. That's what some guy feel like. Say so.
Hey, is this violence in the street? My brother's got no time to sleep. gone. It's this violence in the streets. My brother's got no time to sleep. Said they can't find a job. So at night they kill and rob. They give us dreams and aspirations. Then you turn us down. You turn us down. You build up community centers. Then you break them down. Then you break them down. Every day you don't know exactly what you've done. After you build the slums and then you issue guns. Situation's bad and I'm real fed up.
Welcome back, and my name is Nicole.
And I'm Nia.
And we just want to take a minute to look to the future, you know? What can we do with all this information around us? And I think for my kind of ending note is research. Continue doing research, you know? If I think knowledge, it gives an individual the power to overcome anything, and I think that that's how we'll overcome the obstacles we're facing now. And a lot of these topics, a lot of these subjects that we're discussing today have never been talked about. They're not talked about in school. They're not talked about, I guess, in school, which is where you're supposed to learn all of these things. And even for me, I'm an economics major, and I still feel like I barely scratched the surface of understanding capitalism and all the influences it's having.
Yeah, I mean, like, where I'm at, like, I guess building community. I think that's a very important thing to do, that, like we need to build strength in numbers.
Yeah.
Get people together.
Yeah.
Have the discourses and the talks that is necessary, because it seems that, like, nobody wants to talk about these political things, and nobody wants to talk about anything that has to do with, like, the mess that we're in.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it keeps on piling up and piling up. And I think that the only way that we can get ourselves out of this is just to talk about it, and to, like, well, for me, I think joining a union, getting out there, unionizing, and like building a community and getting people together, like, that is worth it for me.
Yeah. And you know, this is I don't want to say we're in the first stages, but we're still in the stages of discussion and even talking about it, because a lot of people, you know, don't know about this kind of stuff, or don't talk about this stuff. Or sometimes when we talk about issues, we don't look at how capitalism is a function within that issue. So,
yeah, I mean, like, when we went into this conversation, I was telling Nicole, like, let's keep this, like, light as possible, you know? Like,
yeah.
I mean, like, how are you going to be light about, like, capitalism and, like, neoliberalism and, like, it's genocide? But, like, I think that was one of the ways that, like, and I felt that was very successful. We didn't expect any callers to call, like, and so many callers, and we lost so many calls as well. So I think that was successful in, like, building that discourse and the discussion. Yeah.
And it's showing that the community wants to talk about it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
The community is not.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know?
Thank you very much
to everyone who called in.
Yeah. And, we're glad you called, and that was a wonderful show. And I wish everyone
a
wonderful evening.
Yes. Have a great weekend, guys.
Bye, y'all.
Marching at the dawn of the day.
by the radiance that the sun discloses. Oh, hear the people singing bread and roses. Oh, hear the people singing bread and roses. As we come marching, so many women dead. We cry through our city, their ancient call for bread. Our stomachs are empty, but our hearts are hungry too. Oh, hear the people singing bread and roses. Oh, hear the people singing bread and roses.
Good evening, first time and long time listeners. You're listening to KBOO Portland. It is the top of the hour. The time is 7 o'clock on the nose.